Please join me in prayer.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Here in the South, we might need to be particularly careful in talking about being hanged on a tree, as mob actions outside of the law come to mind too easily. Experts conservatively estimate that in a more than 8-decade period, nearly 5,000 people were lynched in the United States. Yet despite the need to be particularly careful, Jesus Christ being hanged under the law for us is precisely what we need to talk about tonight as we continue our midweek Advent sermon series considering the third of the Bible's trees that we live among, namely the tree of the cross. In tonight's first reading, we heard the Lord, through Moses in his final sermon, command the people of Israel to bury on the same day criminals who were likely first executed by stoning or by a sword, and then impaled on a pole, both to intensify their punishment and to deter others from committing the same crime. Such criminals were cursed by God, and their being displayed on a tree showed the shame of God's judgment and rejection. But there was to be a limit. God said that leaving them hanging overnight would defile the land he was giving to the Israelites. The people of Israel were not the first or only ones so to use trees or their wood. As the book of Genesis reports that earlier Pharaoh's one-time chief baker, who was imprisoned with Joseph, was so hung from a tree. And the book of Esther reports that later the Persian king hung two of his rebellious eunuchs. And the Bible further reports at least two different cases where the people of Israel under Joshua did obey this particular commandment to bury on the same day those so hung. Of course, the Israelites could hardly boast that they obeyed that particular commandment or any of God's commandments all of the time. In tonight's second reading, we heard St. Paul, by divine inspiration, writing to the Galatians about salvation by faith. And he quotes from elsewhere in Deuteronomy that everyone who does not abide by and do all the things written in the book of the law is cursed. So, St. Paul says, no one is justified or righteous before God by keeping the law. And that includes you and me. In thoughts, words, and deeds, we fail to love God with our whole heart, soul, and mind. And we fail to love our neighbors as ourselves. We each know our own failures better than others know them, and God knows them best of all. Such failures flow from the sinful nature that we inherited from the first man and woman who ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And for such failures and sinful nature, we deserve to be cut off from God's presence for eternity. Do we think of such an outcome as shameful? Do people today even feel shame anymore? What do we consider to be insulting? Are we more concerned about embarrassment or a loss of respect or reputation from something posted on Facebook or Instagram than we are of the guilt of our sins? As we heard in the second reading, sinless and righteous Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, being hanged on the tree of the cross. For some 7 centuries before Jesus, the Assyrians, Persians, Jews, and Romans crucified people, whipping them, using crosses of different shapes, and sometimes impaling them in parts of their bodies that I will not mention. for us and for our salvation. Jesus Christ humbly endured the shame of crucifixion, the greatest possible insult. Stripped, beaten, and left hanging naked to the world, so that you and I might be sinless and righteous, not by the law, but by faith in him. Jesus Christ took our sins and the ancient curse that afflicts us to the cross. As we sang in the office hymn, my soul looks back to see the burden thou didst bear when hanging on the cursed tree. I know my guilt was there. Drawing on the Old Testament, not only St. Paul, but also St. Peter repeatedly preached and wrote about Jesus' hanging on the tree of the cross for us. After them, at least one early church father even found a prophetic image of Jesus' hanging on the tree in the lamb caught by its horns in a thicket that took Isaac's place as Abraham's sacrifice. Such is God's use of hanging on a tree for us. One commentator says, well, it is no accident that human sin, which began at the foot of a tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, found its resolution on another tree, the cross of Calvary. There is a poetic justice in the use of trees in salvation history. Satan's victory over the woman and the man beneath the branches of that first tree led to his own defeat beneath the crossed beams of another tree. And the proper preface that some settings of the divine service use for Lent confesses that truth by saying that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden was overcome by the tree of the cross. Tonight's psalm likely dates to the time after the Babylonians had destroyed Jerusalem and its temple, which was decorated with trees. The divinely inspired psalmist described the enemy's destruction as swinging axes in a forest of trees, and ultimately scoffing at God and reviling the name of him who brings salvation. The temple of Jesus' body likewise was mocked and destroyed, but ultimately raised back up. Jesus did not hang on the tree of the cross overnight that Good Friday, but was taken down before the Sabbath. And later, God revealed the majesty and glory of the crucified Christ by raising him from the dead and exalting him to his right hand. So now Jesus Christ works through his Holy Spirit in all those who believe, through such means as the reading and preaching of his word, holy baptism, individual absolution, and the sacrament of the altar. Especially in the sacrament of the altar, we eat the fruit and receive the blessings of the tree of the cross. And so the cross, in effect, becomes for us a tree of life. But more about that next week. Long before Revolutionary War era Virginia Justice of the Peace Charles Lynch ordered loyalists to be hung from trees outside of the law, giving the detestable practice of lynching its name, others, including our Lord Jesus Christ, were hung from trees under the law for much greater purposes. So much focus on the cross might seem better suited to Lent and to Holy Week than to Advent and Christmas. But without hanging naked on the tree of the cross, the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger would leave us in our sin. Thanks be to God, that was not the case. Previously, we realized both that Jesus overcomes the consequences of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that Jesus makes the church a tree of the Lord's planting. Tonight, we have considered how Jesus' hanging on the tree of the cross gives us the forgiveness of sins. Next week, we will see how Jesus becomes for us the tree of life. So by God's mercy and grace, we continue to live among the Bible's trees. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.